The prophet Habakkuk prayed to God that the Almighty God will remember mercy in his wrath. And that will be the title or theme of the lesson today. Habakkuk pray. Yes, it was a prayer to God. The passage read just now by Chad. It was a prayer to God in which Habakkuk prayed in wrath, remember mercy. I was just borrowing that statement or request from Habakkuk, because I will not be speaking about Habakkuk today. And I almost say that I'm not going to be speaking about what he asks for, but that could be misleading, because in fact, I borrowed from Habakkuk's statement, because the lesson that we will be looking at, it's a lesson where God's mercy was remembered during God's wrath. In a few of the lessons over the next few weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I'm not even sure at this point if there will be successive lessons or if Sundays will be skipped and what, but we will be looking are examining some of the great truth, some of the great lesson coming out of the many months that some of us have been putting in as we were preparing for the lectureship just finished. I have no doubt that all the speakers have put in a lot of times, and most of the time put in the things that come from God's word that we come upon or that was reaffirmed in us. You will not be hearing all of that or even most of that. But on the subject of same-sex relationship, that was the topic, even in the lectureship, there are so much to be shared that it would not be able to come out in just one lectureship. Today's lesson will be one such lesson, and it is for that reason I borrowed Habakkuk's statement or request from God. In chapter 3 and verse 2, in wrath, remember mercy. This was a request in prayer to God from the prophet Habakkuk. It is telling of the prophet's fear and dread and alarm after the Almighty God had informed him, the prophet, that God was about to pour judgment upon Judah. Yes, one of the tribe of the Israelites. Of course, in this case, after the kingdom was divided, it was usually Judah and Benjamin. But God had just told Habakkuk that he's going to use the Chaldean, that is a Gentile kingdom, to chastise the Israelite. Even that Habakkuk found confusing. How can you, the Almighty God, use a Gentile people that were so wicked to chastise your people, the Israelite? But Israel's sin was of such that the Almighty God decided to use the Chaldean to chastise Israel. And after God used the Chaldean to chastise Israel, God will turn around and chastise the Chaldean. That's the situation that place fear and alarm in Habakkuk when he heard of God's plan. In God's total destruction. No, not on Judah now. Not on the Chaldean. But in God's total and utter destruction on Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim. Yes. Each time you and I hear about Sodom and Gomorrah, remember, other parts in the Bible indicate that there were four cities that the Almighty God destroyed on that day. The likely chance was that because Sodom and Gomorrah might have been the larger cities, those two were always mentioned. But if you will with me, run to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 23. Let us hear a little more of the places or the people that were involved, not just Sodom and Gomorrah. Let us hear it. Deuteronomy 29:23.
and the whole land, whereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim.
You're here? That's four cities. But we're accustomed to hearing of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as I've said, it might be because they were the largest cities that inspiration usually makes sure those are mentioned. But as you have seen here in the passage of Deuteronomy 29, verse 23, it's not just Sodom and Gomorrah. There is Admah and Zeboim.
Which the Lord overthrew
in
his
anger.
Overthrew in his anger and in his wrath.
That's right. But not only that. These cities, especially Sodom and Gomorrah, they were wicked prior to Lot making Sodom his home. So, when you and I read in Genesis 18:19 about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot having previously made there his home, they were wicked long before that. Let us look at Genesis 13:13 and chapter 18, verse 20.
But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners.
Wait, you are in 13:13?
Yeah.
That's right.
But the men
of... This was some time before Sodom, before we reach the destruction in chapter 19.
But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Wait. So God has been putting up with them. That's a term that my mother would use. God has been putting up with them. Well, it is the mercy and the patience of God, hoping that they would turn. That was chapter 13:13, 18 verse 20.
And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous.
The cry is great, their sin is grievous. Verse 20 finish. So again, the wickedness of Sodom was before Lot came there. But there's something else I need to point out, or we need to be mindful of. Look in the same chapter 18, verse 25.
That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time where every tribe, every village had its own God, it is a wonderful affirmation here coming from Abraham. This is when Abraham was pleading with the Almighty God. First he started with what? 50 or 60? I think it was 50. If God found 50 there. May I just point out some things here? That, remember, we have just looked at four cities that were destroyed. Not just the two that we're accustomed to hearing about. And the amount of people, when it is put over the years, different theologians who have tried to assess the population, when we say it was about 500,000 people, that is 500,000 people comprising these four cities, it would be much more than that. But we are satisfied with giving you a figure that gets. And as Abraham plead for God's mercy, because when Abraham plead with, the Bible call them two men going towards Sodom, the Almighty God reasoned that he didn't want, that his God didn't want to hide anything from Abraham. I find it just way out marvelous and positive. The friendship that God felt toward a sinful human being when he decided to confide in Abraham what he was about to do. And here as Abraham pleaded with the Almighty God for mercy, Abraham well knew then that it was not many righteous people in this place that had turned sin upside down and multiplied, invented sin. That Abraham, in pleading, give us this moving affirmation of faith that is his, Abraham's belief in the essential righteousness of God. Put another way, what Abraham said in verse 25 is telling us that Abraham believed that God is a righteous God. We must never seek to blame God for anything that God does, because God is righteous. Not only that, look at verse 21 of chapter 18.
I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know.
Read that again for me, Brother Webb.
I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it.
In biblical theological circle, this term is what is usually referred to as anthropomorphic. Anthropomorphic. That is when the Almighty God, when the divine takes on human limitation and either act or speak like a human being. Did you recognize it? Read again, brother.
I will go down now and see whether they have done all together.
The Almighty God doesn't have to move one inch to see what is going on. In every part, every inches of the world, every inch, God can remain stable, constant, unmoved, are immovable, and know what's going on. But for his own purpose, the Almighty God takes on human limitation here when he said, I will go down and see. Not only that, our modern translation will bring out this. The language there, part of it, is expressed like this. whether they have made completeness of, that is, of their sinfulness. That is, whether they have carried their sin to perfection. That verse 21 is saying that. And you have some translation that brings that up. That the Almighty God has been noticing that these cities were becoming more sinful every day, with no concept or desire or acknowledgement that they need to turn to God. Hence, God acted or speak as if he need to go down to make sure. And God did make sure. In Abraham's pleading for mercy for the city, we cannot help but notice. We cannot help but notice the worth, the value, the significance of one righteous person. We cannot. I am always fascinated the value that the Almighty God placed on those who have submitted their lives to him in obedience. I'm always struck by it. I never got so used to reading it that it doesn't awaken something in me. When Abraham, look at verse 17 following. As I've said, the value, the importance, the significance, the worth of an obedient child of God. Let me hear it, 18, 17, following.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Mm-hmm.
For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice.
Have you noticed, as the brother that are reading or listening, you're getting a glimpse of God's priority? One of the important things that the Almighty God has listed here is how Abraham will guide his children after him. That is important to God. And it should be important to us too, to pass on to all those under our care and guidance something about the Almighty God, about Jesus Christ, that can be of help to them. That is part of what God is acknowledging here about Abraham. Uh-huh. Read on.
For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him,
mm-hmm.
and they shall keep the way of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous.
Their sin is very grievous. The cry is great. It doesn't mean they are crying tears, you know. It's their sinfulness that is referred to as the cry. Is great, or very great. Uh-huh.
I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me.
That is, whether they have done all together. As I said in many translations, is whether they have taken their sin to its limit. It's whether they have taken their sinfulness to its ultimate end. Because one of the things, when normal sinning fail to satisfy, men and women invent other ways to satisfy their sinful inclination. A man or a woman will start drinking one beer until they drink two, and they like the feeling that the two gives them. And then the reason, if I drink three, it will even be a stronger feeling. I like this feeling. And do you know what? It's not going to be long before they depend on that feeling, that intoxicated feeling. So always sin is like that. That you started a little, and the system, both psychologically and physically, become acclimatized and accustomed until it needs more to give you that same feeling. Well, this was what happened. That's what brought Sodom and Gomorrah. You can imagine that Sodom and Gomorrah moved from one state of immorality to the worst state that you could be, until the Almighty God had to come down and destroy the city. Lot's dilemma is another eye-catching situation here. This man's situation, it's really a dilemma. In trying to choose between two very terrible things. You know, I wonder how Lot made that decision. And then on another way, I understand some of it. Lot saw same-sex relationship, homosexual relationship, as like the bottom of sinfulness. You can't get worse. How do I know that? In trying to save the day, in Lot trying to choose the lesser of two sin or the lesser of two evil, Lot made a decision that when he saw the aggressiveness and the hostility of these homosexuals, he thought he came up with a good idea. But that good idea seemed so very bad. When, in fact, let us hear it in verse 6. to verse 9 in chapter 19. Read aloud for me.
And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly.
Do not so wickedly. What you are, these are the men who are about to knock down, break down his house door to get in to the men. It's really angel, you know, they were. See, a lot of times we are blind to our own danger. But they were so aggressive in this desire to relate with these strangers sexually. Their reason was gone. Their sense of decency was gone. Read on.
Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes.
I'm still, I can't see, but I still can't see. That is, you have two daughters. Whether they have known men are not, to send them out, to want to give them to these men, it's just unthinkable. But watch here, watch here. Yes, if Lot was here, he would have said, yes, Mr. Mitchell, it's unthinkable. But here I have another situation on my hand. It's these men of Sodom want to relate to these two visitors I have in my house, want to relate to them sexually. Mr. Mitchell, Lot would say, I find giving my daughter to them the lesser of the two evils. Do you know what that tells me? How terrible Lot saw homosexual relationship. As bad as it was, and as terrible, as barbaric as it was, wanting to give his two daughters to them, so that their loss for the two men would be diminished. Lot saw the sin of homosexuality so barbaric, so uncivilized, so animalistic, that he felt that what he did, that's right, giving his two daughters, who have never known men sexually, giving them to these homosexuals would be the lesser of two sins. In this, Lot highlighted the dark and heinous sinfulness of same-sex relationship. Because to expose his two daughters to these men is equal to sacrificing them and sending a message that no one can miss. When you read in what the brother has read there in chapter 19, verse 6 through 9, when you read that, it is Lot sending a message in respect to the heinousness the unnaturalness of same-sex relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, what is striking? Latu data have no effect on them. They were so warped, hardened by unnatural sinfulness, that probably they didn't even hear what, because they were so blinded by knowing that they were two strangers in the man in Lot's house. In fact, watch here. Their aggressiveness is something else to notice. In verse 4 and 5 of chapter 19.
But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compass the house round.
You get what is going on? These people were like wild beasts in this unnatural lust and desire. Before Lot and his two visitors, two angels, went to bed, the men of the city, it seems they were all homosexual. To the extent that when the angel told Lot that they were sent to destroy the city, and the angel asked, do you have any other relative here other than your two daughters? Lot sent to his sons-in-law. And they treat the message that Lot sent as if it were true. Lot sent the message to save them because Lot got word that the city will be destroyed. The angel made that known. Let us hear verse 4 and 5. We are looking on the brute beast aggressiveness.
Uh-huh. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.
You'll notice, know them is used in the same sense as Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, I think. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Is the know here mean to know sexually? Same as it is used in Genesis, I think it's chapter 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, her son. So know that we may know them mean that we may relate to them sexually. Read, brother.
And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him,
mm-hmm.
and said, I pray you, brethren.
Watch here, you know, get the picture. Lot shut the door. He was outside with them. The two visitors were inside with the door shut.
And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly.
Okay. So here's another point. Don't move from chapter 19. Even after they have been struck with blindness. Yes, the angel blinded them. Look at verse 10 and 11.
But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them.
That is the angel. When Lot was outside of his door reasoning with the men. And all of that. Offering his daughter to them and all of that. The angel had by now assessed that it was in vain. So the angel pulled in Lot. And what happened, brother?
And shut the door.
Shut the door.
And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness.
Watch here now. The angel, the spiritual being that came for Lot's salvation. Yes, the angel were there to save Lot. And that is also a very important thing never to forget. The Almighty God promised that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We see God's interest in those who are faithful to him. So when the angel pulled in Lot, the angel struck these men outside, the homosexual, with blindness. Did they run to their home? Did they learn their lesson? No. Watch here.
Both small and great. So that they wearied themselves to find the door.
You get the picture? After they were struck with blindness by the angel, they didn't ease up. They were still searching for the door. What kind of people are? But you see, brothers and sisters, sin can take us to levels that make us act intoxicated. Truly, sin does that. And we have seen the demonstration of it here. They were still searching for the door, being blind. It is said, it's something that I've learned from different quarters over the past many years, that in homosexual relationship, the jealousy is more intense than in normal relationship. And you can see the type of aggressiveness in these men that surround Lot's house. And as you have seen, even after being struck with blindness by the angel, they were searching for the door of the man's house. In closing, notice in the midst of outpouring, that is the Almighty God, in the midst of outpouring his judgment and wrath upon Sodom, God remember mercy towards his children. Isn't that what Habakkuk was praying for? In wrath, remember mercy. I've always loved that term. I remember reading it many years ago. And when I thought of doing a lesson, one or two lessons on Sodom and Gomorrah, we are always struck by God's mercy and care for his people. Because, you see, we need God's mercy and care. So when you read of a demonstration of the God's mercy and care, it touches you. It was then that I look up, try to find the passage that was expressed in your wrath. Remember mercy. Here we see, and these last few verses will bring us to the end of the lesson. Chapter 19, verse 12 through 13. That is, in the midst of the Almighty God outpouring judgment and wrath on the city of Sodom, Gomorrah, and these other two cities, the Almighty God never forget his people. Let us hear it. And chapter 19, 12 through 13.
And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides?
That's the angel, you know.
Son-in-law.
That's the angel. In other words, the city of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admar, and the other city, they have been marked for destruction from heaven. And the angel have seen what they need to see and will now carry out their work. Read, brother.
Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place.
You notice, for we was at least two of them, two angels. We will destroy this place.
Uh-huh. Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it.
Every time you read about the cry of them, especially in the context of Sodom and Gomorrah, it doesn't mean they are shedding tears. Are bawling. It's their sinfulness and the dreadfulness of their sinfulness. That's what is almost calling out to heaven. Read on.
It's in the verse 13.
Okay, step down. Remember, the brothers just read, we are the angel, had now divulged. Explain to Lot that the purpose that brought them there, they will have to carry out this purpose. Step down now to verse 15 through 16.
And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Mm-hmm. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand.
The men had to grab Lot's hand. Now, you can understand all of that, you know. It's not that Lot is disobeying. When he had lived in this city for some years, and there's no doubt he must have had sentiments or pride in that city. As he lingered, watch here, read.
And upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them.
May I trust thee, Robert? A lot of times I find, over the years I found, men and women, theologians of all walks of life, quite critical of Lot. And that sent me years ago to do some research, to find one place in the entire Bible where the Almighty God has made critical negative of Lot, and I have not found any. all that I have found in respect to statement about Lot from God, from the apostle, are all positive. And it makes me wonder, why are we so eager to be critical of a man who have shown the fact that the city has been a wicked city before Lot went? It's a commendation to Lot that you want to go into that city and dwell. Make sure you are not contaminated by its evil, but make sure that you are an example. We are closing. Some years ago, a preacher of ours, a Church of Christ preacher, decided to go in Harlem and get a congregation going. It's a person I knew personally. He has done at least 2 meetings over the years for us. The congregation that he used to preach in Pontiac, Michigan, has helped to support me while I was in Michigan Christian Junior College. So I knew the man. He died, last year? But when he decided to, when it was spread about that Brother Roosevelt Wells is going, he has left the congregation, the Franklin Rhodes congregation, a place that I preach. As I've said, they have been of help to me. He had preached there for many years and was now going to Harlem. Many people wonder, because Harlem, my God, that was the city center of drugs, prostitution, all the wrong thing then. No, I mean, it's much, much restored to some sense of decency, I imagine, now. But when he decided to go there, many people wonder if something was going wrong up here. But do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? How he did it? I'm not sure. He went to Harlem and started in a house and started doing evangelistic work from house to house and built a growing congregation that right now it has one of all very effective preacher there, because Brother Wells was able to retire and have preacher who come in who is also one of our top preachers. So what I'm saying, Lot could have moved into Sodom and Gomorrah with a good intention. People will tell that where Lot chose, when Abraham asked that they be divided, Lot chose the better place. Foolishness. It was all good. That's why Abraham could tell him, choose wherever you want, and I'll choose the opposite. Whenever you find a man or woman who can give me somewhere in God's word where God or one of the apostles or one of the prophets say some negative things about Lot, please bring it to my attention. But until such time, may God bless the memory of Lot. And that God took so much interest in the man to save him and his family. Read verse 22 again.
Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore,
wait. What the angel said?
Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither.
You hear what the angel said? I cannot do anything. In other words, we were sent to save you. There's nothing else we can do until we save you. God is a great God. God is a great God. He has promised his people, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the interest that the Almighty God has taken in this family. And be careful how you are critical of Sister Lot. Yes, she became a pillar of salt. Sad, unfortunate. But that probably could have happened to any of us. You're leaving a city that you have some ties. And from what the Bible says, she looked back. We are not sure what was in that looking back. What we know that she became a pillar of salt. But thanks be to God for all the faith, the courage that Lot has shown, and the keeping, care, and directive that God gave. In thy wrath, God, remember mercy. We need to word that prayer too, that when God is at vexation with us, may God remember mercy. If you're here today, God is at vexation with you if you have not had the blood of Jesus Christ to remove your sin. That's right. God make it that only. In fact, it's not so much that God made it. God's nature, God's holy nature must be satisfied. God cannot deal with sin in any bandula way. God cannot just get up with all of God's power and say, you know what? I like how that young lady walk. Or I like how that gentleman speak. God cannot be sentimental like that. God is driven by his holiness. Sin will be punished or be paid for by Christ's blood. There is no other way that sin can be dealt with. And we are saying to you today that God is extending mercy to you now while you are alive. Utilize the mercy by coming to Jesus Christ, submitting your life to become a Christian. We are here to help you. Yes, you must hear the truth of the gospel. You must believe in Jesus as the Christ. You must repent of your sin. You must confess Christ's name, and you must be baptized. Wait. It is in baptism that the blood of Jesus Christ works on you. You can come today for Jesus Christ to save you. In thy wrath, Almighty God, please remember mercy as we stand.